Welcome to Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Join us every Sabbath on Zion Road Radio for a look at the life, deeds, and words of Yeshua Messiah and his followers from the Torah-centric Hebraic perspective they were originally lived and written in. Today's program starts in Mark chapter 4. The portion we're going to be focusing on today is Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through chapter 5, verse 20. Why don't we rise up and act according to faith? What did Messiah mean when he said, "Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" What should we do when we feel afraid? Should we just charge forward whenever we feel afraid as if it isn't a problem? Why or why not? If we know and believe the truth, do we have any reason to be afraid? What is the key to faith, especially when we're afraid? How important is spiritual sight? How about when it comes to recognizing demonic activity around us? Do those who are walking in Messiah have authority to cast them out like he did? And what gives us spiritual sight? Stay tuned through to the end of today's program for Eliyahu ben David's insight on these questions and more in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through chapter 5, verse 20. Now, here's today's main scripture portion. Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 through chapter 5, verse 20. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the multitude, they took him with them, even as he was in the boat. Other small boats were also with him. A big windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so much that the boat was already filled. He himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and told him, "Rabbi, don't you care that we are dying?" He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" They were greatly afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he had come out of the boat, immediately a man with an unclean spirit met him out of the tombs. He lived in the tombs. Nobody could bind him anymore, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Nobody had the strength to tame him. Always, night and day, in the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Yeshua from afar, he ran and bowed down to him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have I to do with you, Yeshua, you son of the Most High Elohim? I adjure you by Elohim, don't torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He asked him, "What is your name?" He said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now on the mountainside there was a great herd of pigs feeding. All the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, that we may enter into them." At once Yeshua gave them permission. The unclean spirits came out and entered into the pigs. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned in the sea. Those who fed them fled and told it in the city and in the country. The people came to see what it was that happened. They came to Yeshua and saw him who had been possessed by demons, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, even him who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who saw it declared to them how it happened to him who was possessed by demons, and about the pigs. They began to beg him to depart from the region. As he was entering into the boat, he who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. He didn't allow him, but said to him, "Go to your house, to your friends, and tell them what great things Adonai has done for you, and how he had mercy on you." He went his way and began to proclaim in Decapolis how Yeshua had done great things for him, and everyone marveled. And now, here's Eliyahu ben David on that portion.
Hello, friends. We have two stories or two accounts that we're going to be looking at. Our theme is faith and freedom. And it's kind of interesting looking at these two stories because they both kind of, although being very different, speak to one another. And I'll see what you think about that as we go along. We've been through this story now, so I'm not going to read it again, but it's the big storm, right? And you know, there on the Sea of Galilee, and I was so blessed to be able to go there and actually be on the Sea of Galilee and see that whole area there. I went to the Decapolis and I actually found some coins from the first century. I thought that was cool. But anyway, you can kind of understand when you go there how a storm could come up so suddenly, because the sea there is kind of in a depression, and you have big mountains on kind of like a natural amphitheater. And if the wind changes and it happens to be a certain time of the year, it's very easy for the winds just to come down off of those mountains and churn up that lake really fast. And it sounds like that's what really happened while Yeshua was asleep in the boat. And I like to think of him sleeping in the boat. You just think about that. Like we already read, all day long, he spent all day long talking to the people, telling them these parables of the kingdom. Out there on a boat, just picture him standing up there all day long and just shouting out across the water. Is that not exhausting? We're not talking microphones here, right? Exhausting. And he was a man, just like you and I are human beings, and he fell asleep in a boat. Now, that's not easy to do. And even when the storm came up, he was just so tired out that he didn't wake up. He was given everything he had, friends. He knew he had a short time to be with us, and he was just pouring it all out. Pouring it all out. So he was getting his sleep, and the boat was filling up. And of course, all the disciples are freaking out, right? Because the boat was filling up. Big wind, big waves, and it's a big lake. What happens if that boat sinks? It's no exaggeration to think that they were dying. And he woke up out of a sound sleep, heard what they said, spoke to the wind, "Peace, be still." It was all still. Isn't that amazing? That's just so amazing. And then after he did that, which was so easy, I mean, it was simple. It's like looking at his watch or something. Just simple. He looked at them and he said, "Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" It's interesting. You know, looking at the commentaries about this, I feel everybody misses what he was really saying to them. He was saying to them, "You woke me up for this. Why didn't you do it?" That's what he was saying. It's very simple. Too afraid, no faith to do what? Well, it's just such a different mindset that he had. You see, because he never experienced what it's like to not have enough faith. He always knew what the truth was, and he always acted on it. And so if there's anything that being on earth really amazed him about, it was the fact that other people did not have that awareness. It's like he couldn't even believe it, that they couldn't see what the truth was. And what is the truth? He said this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim." To him, the word is the truth. You don't argue with it. You don't disagree with it. You don't wonder about it. You just do it. That's how it was for him. And he knew what it said in Genesis 1. You know, he was there. "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth." Do you think the disciples ever read that? Elohim gave man dominion over the earth. Is the Sea of Galilee part of the earth? So, you know what? Messiah was right. If they had faith, they could have said, "Peace, be still," and it would happen. Because they already had the authority. Yahweh had given man that authority. So why doesn't that happen? Why don't we see people doing that? Because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Because we live in this fallen world, and we get used to the norms of this fallen world, and the same thing happened with his disciples. And so instead of living by the word of Elohim, we live by a certain set of parameters that we feel are how the world operates. A set of parameters that Messiah would say are a lack of faith. And you know what? We're all struggling against that. We're all struggling against a false perception of ourselves and of the world. And this is what continues to be our struggle as we go through our life. To grow in faith. And as we grow in faith, to grow in an understanding of what our Father's word really says and how true it really is. And the more we come to grasp this, the more we see what other people would call miracles happening in our lives. But why did they not rise up in that moment and do it? Well, Messiah knew exactly the reason. He says, "Why are you so afraid?" Fear is a faith killer. Fear is a faith killer. As soon as people start being afraid, many times their faith fails them. And that's just a fact. And I think a lot of us have experienced that at some time. And in saying that, I'm not condemning anybody because I've had the same struggle through my life that all of you have, to come to grips with what it's like living on planet Earth. And, you know, we have fear being thrown at us all the time. Constantly, fear being thrown at us. And we need to counter that with faith. What do you think Messiah was thinking when he says, "Why are you so afraid?" Well, remember this. He said to them, "Aren't two sparrows sold for an Assyrian coin? Not one of them falls on the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." See, why are you afraid? If your Father in heaven loves you that much, if your life is completely in his hands, if you fully grasp that reality, do you have any reason to be afraid? But you know, many times this is our failure. We know ourselves too well, and we think, how could he ever love me that much? But he does. He really does. So we can turn to 1 John 4:18. It says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." You know, David said, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." He didn't say, "I'm never afraid." He said, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Now, this is what we have to do. We have to kind of train ourselves that when we have fear, it is not the time to act. Don't act when you're afraid. Now, if somebody's pointing a gun at you and pulls the trigger, probably be a good thing to duck, okay? I'm not talking about that. But most of the time, when we have fears, we have time to approach our Father in heaven and to settle the fear issue first, because you can't see anything, spiritually speaking, as long as you're in the grip of fear. You've got to come to grips with the fear issue. And to do that, you have to deal with your Father's love for you. And as soon as you get all of that worked out with him, then you're ready to deal with whatever the issue is in faith. That's basically how that works. So the key to faith, especially in the face of fear, is this prayer: "Lord, help me believe how much you love me." When you understand that, when you really have a revelation of his love for you, you don't have a reason to be afraid anymore. Well, let's go on to the freedom idea. And of course, we had the story here of the man with the unclean spirit. Just imagine this guy wandering around in the tombs. They tried to chain him. He has supernatural strength, breaks the chains. All the pieces fly apart. Nobody could tame him. So they just let him wander around in the tombs. He was just too dangerous, to say the truth. And what did he do? He was wandering around in torment, essentially out of his mind, crying out, cutting his own body. What do you think would make him want to cut his body? I think it's because he wanted to let those demons out of his body. And in the insanity that was induced on him through this demon possession, this urge to let them out and get rid of them caused him to be cutting his body. You know, people do that today. There are demonized people who cut their body. And it's the same reason. They're wanting to let this influence out. Now, in some cases, they know that it's demons, entities. In other cases, they might not understand what's really going on. But in any case, demonic possession is the worst kind of bondage anybody can experience, because it actually does cause insanity, and it really is a horrible kind of bondage. It actually takes over a person's life so that they can't be themselves, and all of this is lost. All their life energy is really being fed upon by these demonic powers. Well, some people say that's not reality, that there are no demonic entities, and that it's just that some people are mentally deranged for various reasons. Well, I certainly wouldn't deny that there are people who are mentally deranged for different reasons other than demonic spirits. You know, people could have some sort of a chemical imbalance. They could have genetic problems. There's a whole host of different things that could cause this. However, demonic possession is one thing that causes people to act insane. And you can't always tell the difference between someone who is insane for other reasons and someone who is demonically possessed. Why did the pigs run over the cliff into the water? Because they were crazy. That's what happens when creatures are inhabited by these beings. They get crazy. And that's what happened to these pigs. So we mentioned that demonic possession involves mental illness, and some people even think it is mental illness. And why do we see more of this than we've seen in the past? Well, I've talked about this before and pointed out the growing influence of the occult, which is probably the main reason we see more of this today, because the influence of the occult is growing rapidly. You've got people actively seeking out how to use demonic spirits to accomplish what they want to do. And you got books about it. Anybody can just go buy them. There are gurus that'll teach you how to do this stuff. It's really a huge influence today. So that's part of the reason. But there is another reason from the standpoint of the mental illness part of it, that there's a lack of mental institutions. Here's an article from USA Today. This was from back in 2013. And it was pointing out that at that time it was the anniversary of the last law that Kennedy had signed into law 50 years earlier. And that was the Community Health or Mental Health Act of October 31st, 1963. And at that time, before that time, there were mental institutions funded by the government all over the country. So if there was a person that had a serious mental illness, there was a place for them to go to. But there was a lot of concern by some folks that it was not a good environment for mentally ill people. And I don't know about that one way or the other. But I will tell you that all of those people were not on the streets at the time. And what the idea was to let these people out and instead let their families take care of them, let the local communities take care of them. And that all sounded good. However, the article goes on and it says, recent deadly mass shootings have been perpetrated by men who are apparently not being adequately treated for serious mental illnesses. And it goes on, it says, only half of the proposed centers, that is local centers for the mentally ill, were ever built, and those were never fully funded. 90% of beds have been cut at state hospital. And the rules have been changed. So what has the result been? Well, it goes on, it says, that has left nowhere for the sickest people to turn, so they end up homeless, abusing substances, or in prison. And then it goes on and it says, the three largest mental health providers in the nation today are jails. Now, let's talk about this demonized person who was healed and set free by Messiah. What if he was alive today? What would happen to him? Well, I think today he'd be called a homeless person, wouldn't he? He's wandering around in the tombs and stuff. And like the many, many thousands of homeless people in many places across the country. And anybody that happened to get close to him would no doubt observe strange behavior, probably old smelly clothes, and would seem like he's talking to himself. Does that sound like anybody you've seen? There's thousands of these people on the street. Thousands of them. And this change in the system in America is part of the reason it's like that here. Because these folks are not being warehoused like they used to. But the truth is, there's nobody to really help them. And in many cases, they are demonically possessed people. Now, we like to call them schizophrenic because they're hearing voices. Doesn't that sound more scientific? Schizophrenic. Could there be people who are schizophrenic? Probably. But I think it's too convenient when a person is hearing voices to simply be able to slap a label on them that they're schizophrenic and then basically throw some drugs at them and consider the problem solved, because it isn't solved. Here's another article that I found. This is about shootings in Florida. Driven by Demons is the headline. Florida school shooter Nicholas Cruz says demon voices told him to slaughter 17 as cops reveal they were called to the home 39 times. 39 times. Why do you think they were called to the home 39 times and they never did anything to help this kid? Because they didn't have anywhere to put him, is probably the reason. The shooter has now told investigators that voices in his head, described as demons, told him what to do. Does that sound anything to you like the man we just learned about in the book of Mark? There's a lot of really hurting people out there who are in bondage to demons, and people aren't recognizing it, and they're not dealing with it. It's not something the world can really deal with. And this is just one guy. It is frightening how many of these people say this, that they heard these voices. You've seen it in the paper. You've seen it. You know. So I'm saying about this, be aware when you're out there. Be spiritually aware of who's around and what they're doing and who they are spiritually. That could really, at minimum, save your life. And it could also show you some people that you could pray for. Can't you just see that demonized man after Messiah cast out these demons? I think he thanked God for what had happened, and I think he told everybody what a wonderful thing it was to have his mind back again, his life back again, and that the Father in heaven loved him enough to do that for him. Here's how that can happen, friends. You know, we don't have to be intimidated by the demons. I didn't share all this to make you feel scared of demonically possessed people. It's actually exactly the opposite. I want you to realize that you have authority. Ephesians 1:20 through 23, it tells us of Messiah, who is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. He put all things in subjection under his feet. Those who walk in Messiah have his authority to deal with demonic powers that seek to penetrate into their lives. In Mark 3, we saw that he appointed the 12, and among other things, he gave them authority to cast out demons. And in Luke chapter 10, he had sent the 70 out, and he had given them authority over demons. And they came back with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." We're not going to, like, I don't know, have a party with the demons or something. We don't even want to be communicating with the demons. But we do want to cast them out of people where that needs to happen and where the people are willing. You know, in the case we're talking about, this man asked for the help. He was willing for it to happen. He just did not have the authority to make it happen. Some people seem very happy with their demons. And with those people, you know, there's not much you can do. Because if you did cast those demons out, they're going to go right back because that person wants them there. But there are people who want to be set free from demonic powers. And We do have that authority. We can do that. Yeshua said this, I gave you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So friends, we don't need to be afraid of this reality, even though it is a reality. But in all of these things, what are we talking about? We're talking about having spiritual sight. That's what those disciples were lacking out on the ocean. It's the Word of God that gives us spiritual sight. You know, it's His Spirit that empowers our spirit. We can look at things on a higher level and really see what's going on. We need to turn to Him sometimes and ask Him to help us with that. Because, you know, for somebody that's newly dealing with it, especially, it's all very, very mysterious and difficult. But it's not difficult for Messiah. He can handle it. He can show us what we need to do. And with those who are willing, they can really be helped.
Crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you find.
You have been listening to Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Some of the scripture verses mentioned in today's program are Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through verse 31. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Psalm 56, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 through verse 15. And Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through verse 20. Further teachings and study materials on God's love, God's word, faith, faithfulness, authority, walking in Messiah, spiritual warfare, and tons of other resources to help you gain spiritual sight, along with many other related topics, can be found at our membership site, Zion Tabernacle. Sign up is free. Just go to Zion.net. That's TSIYON.NET. New programs on the Gospels will be airing every Sabbath on Zion Road Radio. Tune in next Shabbat to learn more from Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Shabbat Shalom! That have kindled
joy. I brought you out of the nations.
Would you like to hear more of Eliyahu's teachings? Do you have a question or prayer request and would like to get in touch with one of our volunteers for help? Or do you just want to know more about Eliyahu ben David and Zion Ministry? Visit our website at zion.org, where you can listen to more teachings from Eliyahu ben David straight from the homepage of our website. Check out our books, DVDs, internet videos, and other social media outlets. Learn more about Eliyahu and the Zion team on the About page. See what our ministry's mission is on the Remnant Vision page. Send a question or prayer request from our Contact Us page. Or click Join Us in the menu bar to learn about our community site, Zion Tabernacle. To find out more about Zion Ministry, go to zion.org. That's zion.org, spelled TSIYON.org.